Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shalby Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kashish Thakur for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Samia. Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome all the participants to the Shalby Limited Q1 FY26 earnings call hosted by Elara Securities. Today, we have with us senior management representative from Shalby. We will start with the performance highlight from Mr. Amit Pathak, CFO, and Mr. Deepak Anand, CEO. After that, we'll open the floor for question and answer for all the participants. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Jigar Todi for important disclaimers regarding any forward-looking statements that may be made in today's call. Over to you, Jigar. Thank you.
Thanks, Kashish. Good afternoon, everyone. Our investor presentation is uploaded on the stock exchange website and our company website, shalby.org. We do hope you have already had the opportunity to go through the presentation. Please note that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number two of the investor presentation for a detailed disclaimer. Now, I would like to hand over the call to CFO, Mr. Amit Pathak, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to Shalby Limited Q1 FY26 earnings call. Now, I will walk you through the financial performance of your company for the first quarter of FY26. The consolidated revenue of the company for this quarter is 303 crores versus 270 crores in the quarter four of last financial year and 289 crores in the Q1 FY25. And we have been grew by around 12.3% on quarter-on-quarter and 5.1% on YOY basis. In the history of Shalby, we have first time crossed 300 crores of the quarterly performance, and we are going to continue this momentum into the upcoming quarters. EBITDA of 48.5 crores in this quarter versus 26.2 crores into the last quarter versus 54.9 crores into the quarter one of the last financial year, with a margin of 16% in this quarter, 9.7% into the last quarter, and 19% into the quarter one of the last financial year. And that reflects the 85.6% growth on the quarter-on-quarter basis. And on YOY basis, we have been down by around 11.6%. PBT of this quarter is 22.7 crores versus -0.7 crores into the quarter four of last financial year and 30.4 crores into the quarter one of the last financial year. With a margin of 7.5% in this quarter, with neutral impact into the quarter four into the FY25 and 10.5% into the quarter one of the last financial year. And we have been substantially improved compared to the last quarter, and we have been grown by 3,165% on quarter-on-quarter and down by around 25.5% on YOY basis. PAT for this quarter is 7.7 crores, with a -12.2 crores into the quarter four of last financial year and 14.7 crores into the quarter one of the last financial year, with a margin of 2.5% in this quarter, with -4.5% on quarter four of last financial year and 5.1% into the Q1 of.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. The line for the management has been reconnected. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, we apologize for the network issue. So I'm just continuing with the PAT performance on the consolidated numbers. So the PAT for this quarter is 7.7 crores for this quarter, with -12.2 crores in the quarter four of FY25 and 14.7 crores in the quarter one of the last financial year, with a margin of 2.5% in this quarter, with -4.5% margin into the last quarter and 5.1% in quarter one of last financial year. And we have been grew by 163% on quarter-on-quarter and down by around 47% on YOY basis. As a group, we continue to maintain a very strong balance sheet with a low gearing ratio of 0.3x. That is on the total debt, consolidated debt of 302 crores. Now, the standalone performance of the hospital for this quarter is 242 crores in this quarter versus 214 crores into the last quarter and 240 crores in the quarter one of 25. So we have been grew by around 13.1% on quarter and quarter basis, and YoY basis, our performance is flat. EBITDA of 52.4 crores in this quarter versus 38 crores into the last quarter and 58 crores into the quarter one of FY25, with a margin of 21.6% in this quarter and 17.7% into the last quarter and 24.2% in quarter one of the last financial year. And we have been up by around 37.9% on quarter and quarter and down by around 9.8% on YoY basis. PBT is 40.1 crores in this quarter versus 25.7 crores into the last quarter of last financial year versus 45.8 crores into the quarter one of the last financial year, with a margin of 16.6% in this quarter, 12% into the quarter four of last financial year and 19.1% in quarter one of FY25. And on quarter on quarter basis, we have been grew by around 56% and down by around 12.5% on YoY basis. PAT for this quarter is 25.7 crores versus 15 crores in quarter four of last financial year and 30.5 crores into the quarter one of last financial year, with a margin of 10.6% in this quarter, 7% into the last quarter, and 12.7% into the quarter one of the last financial year. And there is a substantial jump of around 71% on quarter on quarter basis, whereas we have been down by around 15.7% on YoY basis. At standalone level, again, we positioned the net cash balance of 10 crore and our standalone ROC is 12.5% in the current quarter on annualized basis. Our ARPOB and ALOSs continue to show the improvement, and for this quarter, our ARPOB is 45,673 for the hospital business and ALOS is 3.53 respectively, compared to 43,365 and 3.7 into the same period of the previous year. And ARPOB is grown by around 5.3% on YoY basis. In terms of the occupancy, our occupied bed is 639 in this quarter versus 669 in quarter one of the last financial year. And there is a decrease of around 4.5% on YoY basis on the overall occupancy rate of 45% in this quarter. The payer mix, we continue to maintain the same payer mix. The self mix is close to 36%, 40% for the insurance and 24% for the government business. For our Delhi acquisition, Sarbishanar, for this quarter, the revenue is 23.25 crores versus 23.7 crores into the quarter one of the last financial year, with a marginal decrease of 2.2% on YoY basis. This is mainly because of the Middle East war, which we have seen into the quarter one. There's a lot of flight cancellations and other things. Patient flows has been not there. And Delhi, we have more of international patient. So we have seen the slowdown into the upcoming international patient into the quarter one, which impacted the top line of the Sarbishanar Hospital. The ARPOB and ALOS of Sarbishanar is close to around 90,000 and 3.38 respectively into the current quarter. With this Middle East war, we have seen that occupancy for this quarter is close to 22%. And in terms of the revenue contributions, also the international contribution has come down from 65-70% to 56% into the current quarter. Revenue from the international business is remain at 15 crore, which includes 2 crores from the Shalby operation and 13 crores from the Sanar operations. Now at Shalby, we undivided focus has been demonstrating our clinical excellence through successful execution of many diverse clinical surgeries in several of our hospitals. We also pride in sharing that we have successfully completed 25 transplants, which includes 8 kidney, 14 liver and 3 BMT during the current quarter. We have also taken pride in nurturing young talent through the Shalby Academy vertical, with 630 plus students registered in various disciplines like physiotherapy, nursing, lab technician, nutrition, clinical paramedics, hospital management and pharmacy as per their academic outreach and upgrade their skills during the quarter one of this current year. Shalby Academy Indore collaborated with Sri Vaishnav Vidyapeeth Vishwalay Indore for offering BBA HHM and MBA HHM program from this financial year 25-26. Over 50 students have been enrolled for Kaushalya Skill University and Shalby Academy, allied health science courses like BSc, MLT, MSc, MLT and Diploma MLT, Diploma OT. Now I will hand over the call to Deepak Anand to share his insight about the implant business. Over to you, Deepak.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Deepak Anand, CEO of Shalvi MedTech, and I welcome you to our Q1 Financial Year 26 earnings call. Thank you for taking the time to join us. Today, I'll walk you through our quarterly performance and update you on our strategy for growth and value creation. Our vision is very clear: restoring mobility, improving lives. We deliver surgeon-friendly implant systems tailored to regional clinical needs while maintaining world-class standards. Our key differentiators include nimble surgeon-responsive R&D, high reliability and ethical operations, personalized support with deep orthopedic experience. Let me now walk you through our financial highlights for the quarter. Shalvi MedTech consolidated revenue for quarter 1 financial year 26 stood at 30.8 crores, was a 17.4 crores in quarter 1 financial year 25, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 74.2%. driven by robust domestic volumes and improved channel partner engagement. Shalvi MedTech EBITDA for quarter 1 financial year 26 stood at a negative 74 lakhs, was as a negative 2.7 crores in quarter 1 financial year 25, reflecting a year-on-year loss declination of 72%. Total 14,076 implant components sold in quarter 1 financial year 26 versus 8,500 implant components sold in quarter 1 financial 25, year-on-year growth of 65.4%. Shalvi MedTech standalone revenue for quarter 1 financial year 26 stood at 18.24 crores versus 4.6 crores in quarter 1 financial year 25, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 271%. Driven by robust domestic volumes and improved channel partner engagement. Shalvi MedTech EBITDA for quarter 1 stood at 1.2 crores, was as a negative EBITDA of 1.5 crores in last year, reflecting a year-on-year inclination of 181.4%. Total 9,317 implant components sold in quarter 1 financial year, vis-a-vis 2,837 components sold last year at the same time. Growth of 228.4%. We achieved operational efficiency while scaling up production capacity and regional coverage. Our gross margins improved on the back of supply chain optimization and value-engineered implants. Like we've discussed earlier, the strategic priorities for 25-26 remain the same. Product and innovation will focus on local partnerships across different countries to expand our footprint. We plan the global launch of two new products this year. We're advancing robotic partnerships with Curexo to integrate cutting-edge technology into our surgical solutions. Projects team will initiate new product development projects to build a robust product innovation product pipeline for future launches. We will also strengthen key existing product brands like Tux to gain market share. Our second pillar is our customer segment focus. Our sales efforts will concentrate on key markets, US, India, Indonesia, and Japan. We aim to increase market share in these regions by leveraging existing resources and deepening customer relationships. Brand awareness will enhance through partnership with key opinion leaders, clinical agreements, training programs, and targeted marketing engagements. We will also launch operations in 4 to 5 new countries to diversify our market presence. The third pillar being cost of goods reduction, a critical focus will be on cost efficiencies, targeting a reduction in costs by 30%. We will identify and execute manufacturing efficiencies and optimize warehouse management to improve margins. And our fourth pillar being supply chain excellence, we'll establish multiple vendors to mitigate tariff impacts and improve procurement and freight efficiencies, aiming to reduce costs by another 15 to 20%. Distribution efficiencies will be tailored to each market to ensure timely and cost-effective delivery. We have improved our order-to-cash and asset utilization and started to address our high inventory. Further inventory improvements will be in area of continuous focus in this year to ensure enhanced working capital and ROC. Organization and talent development, hiring of key leadership talent across the organization is priority. Recruitment, retention, and continuous training of sales and corporate teams remain a priority. We'll enhance employee engagement through clear career development pathways, rewards, recognition, and regular communication. Our partner relationships will be strengthened to ensure alignment with our strategic goals. In conclusion, our roadmap for this year is designed to drive sustainable growth, operational efficiency, and innovation leadership in the orthopedic market. We are confident that our strategic initiatives combined with favorable market dynamics and technological advancement will position us strongly for the future. Thank you for your continued support and trust. We look forward to a successful year ahead. Over to you, Amit.
Thank you, Deepak. So now we can open the forum for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Neel Shah from Prunatra Investment Advisory Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. So in your initial remarks, you mentioned that the ALOS has dipped compared to the previous quarters. So should we consider a decrease in the ALOS to be a positive? Because is it not better to have a higher ALOS if your occupancy rates are on the lower side?
So your question is not clear. Can you please repeat or...
Sir, sorry to interrupt. May I request you to use any handsets while asking a question?
Okay. So basically, should we consider a decrease in the ALOS to be a positive? And is it not better to have a higher ALOS if your occupancy rates are on the lower side?
So, you know, I would not read too much into the ALOS because the ALOS is, you know, a factor of, you know, the kind of procedures that have been done in particular unit, and then, you know, these all are consolidated to give you a number. So I would not look much into it. But wherever we have more daycare patients like in Naroda as well as in Surat, you know, what happens is, you know, that the ALOS is much lower. So that tends to bring the average length of stay much lesser. So however, as I said, you know, I would not read too much into the decrease.
Okay. So then... The occupancy rate has decreased year on year, so do we have any specific reasons for that? And also, what can we expect the occupancy rate for FY26 to be?
Sure. I think we have Dr. Nishita Shukla, Chief Operating Officer, on the line. I think, you know, she can probably take that.
Okay.
Deepak?
So I think I would just like to add that, you know, ALOS, average length of stay when it reduces, it gives you a good ARPOB. So that is how it is good. It is nowhere related to the occupancy because occupancy remains the same if, you know, a patient is staying for 3 days or 4 days.
Okay, understood.
Average length of stay always helps us, you know, fast in, fast out of the patient, helps in, you know, increasing the ARPOB of the hospital. And that is how, if you see, the ARPOB has increased because of short stay surgeries. And because of, you know, new technologies coming in and all, so now as such, the surgeries which were for 5 days, 7 days a week have reduced to 3 days. If you see CABT also, which was earlier for 10 days, now with same package, the patient is staying for 5 weeks.
Okay, I got it. And what about the occupancy?
Sorry?
Sir, can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, what about my question? So occupancy rate has decreased on a year-on-year basis. So are there any specific reasons for that? And also, what can we expect the occupancy rate for 2026 to be?
The occupancy this quarter is less because, as we have mentioned, we are moving the payer mix. So we have reduced our government work, little bit of government work, as well as there are a few doctors which were on board have moved to some other place and we are hiring new doctors. So the you know, the shortfall is because of that transit of doctors and coming in of new doctors.
Yeah, we also have Mr. Naresh Kapoor in the hospital. So, Naresh ji, you want to kind of speak about Sanat?
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. So, on the Sanat occupancy, like Amit mentioned earlier, that due to the political, geopolitical environment in Middle East, there was a dip in occupancy for about 30 days. And now it is coming back, so that's why the Q1 occupancy has gone down. But we are seeing, witnessing now the back in surge as the things are sorted out. So sure, this quarter should be better as compared to the earlier one. Thank you.
Okay, so do you mean that the lower occupancy is only related to the Shalby Sanar?
Yes, it includes the entire hospital business.
Okay, all right. And what can we expect it to be for FY26?
So, Anishita ma'am, can you please answer?
I'm not clear about the question because we're not able to understand.
Actually, for FY26, how much do you expect the occupancy rate to be for the entire year?
Occupancy, we are like expecting 85 to 90 average occupancy for the year.
For the entire year, 85 to 90.
Yeah.
Okay.
Average occupancy.
Fine.
For all the years. So we are starting
okay,
at
all right.
100, but we will be at.
So I will just reframe your question from the investor point of view. When you are talking for the occupancy, as we mentioned, we are at around 45% of the occupancy. We have already mentioned that is the mix of couple of things. As our CEO has explained that we have seen this couple of movement of the doctors. We have seen certain turbulence into the Sanar. That is the reason we are at around occupancy of 45%. But the way we are seeing with the good hiring of the doctors, with the kind of business what we are expecting into the quarter 3, quarter 4 and the upcoming quarters, we can going to see the upward movement of the occupancy, and that on an average, if I am saying for FY26, I can see that will be definitely touching close to around 50% plus kind of thing.
60% plus or 50% plus?
50% plus.
But see, again, as I said, depending on the ALOS, right, the occupancy absolute the absolute occupancy number may be maybe more or less, but the way we track you know our kind of growth is really based on the outpatient group count growth and the inpatient count growth. I think ultimately that is what will matter to us you know from that standpoint.
Okay, thank you, that was very helpful.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Suchrit D. Patil from Eyesight FinTrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to the Shalby team. My name is Sukrut Patil and I have a question for Mr. Deepak Anand. My question is, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the team on the strategic achievement in acquiring the Delhi hospital. So my question is, as Shalby pivots beyond joint replacement into oncology and transplant care, how are you thinking about building a differentiated clinical brand for international patients, possibly through bundled care models, outcome-linked pricing, or some tie-ups with global insurance companies and medical tourism platforms? And is there a roadmap to position Shalby as a destination hospital brand across high acuity specialties? Yes, that was my question.
So I think Dr. Nishita or Dr. Kapoor,
I think Shana, you will be the better person to answer this question. Yeah.
So we have Dr. Nishita Shukla and Mr. Naresh Kapoor. Probably they can take the question.
Okay. So on the international front, we already have got tie-ups with various large insurance companies like NHIF in Kenya and a couple of Middle East companies also. Apart from that, we do also have tie-up with various health ministries in different countries like Ethiopia and Baghdad in Iraq and Uzbekistan and to some extent Tajikistan. And apart from that, we have tie-ups with large hospitals in different countries in Africa, Middle East, and also CIS countries. So this is since last 3 years growing every year, and we have more tie-ups with the ministries in the pipeline, and hopefully coming years, coming time, we should be having tie-ups with the Health Ministry of Malawi, Health Ministry of Mauritius, and also we are in talks with Health Ministry of Zambia. So through these health ministries, we have tie-up with, we go through the tie-up for the large government hospitals through which we get a steady inflow of patients from international business. And on the medical tourism part, as far as the channel partners or the medical tourism companies are concerned, so there is a big, I would say, number of medical tourism companies operating in the country, and particularly in Delhi NCR, if I can talk about that. And almost all of them we are in touch, and we have tie-up with a couple of very large companies also, who have presence not only physical in different countries, but also a wide digital presence also. And through them, we source our patients. And like Amit mentioned earlier, we have all these specialties in Sanar International and in Gurgaon. And we cover a lot of transplants, including kidney transplant, liver transplant, bone marrow transplant. And that is the basis of our sourcing of international patients. And this is going to increase in the near future as our tie-ups with different, like I mentioned, the government and other private players is going to increase. So that will increase our foray into international. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the guidance.
Thank you. Before we move to the next participant, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Kashish Thakur from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on, we have started giving the maturity-wise hospital performance from this quarter. Highly appreciated for that. Just wanted to know, in the maturity wise 10 plus year, which we have four hospitals, what kind of EBITDA margin contribution we might have, like for our entire EBITDA, how much EBITDA contribution will be from these four hospitals?
So Kashish, if you can go through our investor presentation, we have already given in terms of the absolute number for this quarter, this mature hospital have the EBITDA of 32 crores. And in terms of the margin, they are highly profitable with around close to around 36% of the EBITDA margin.
Yes, sir. So I understand it is somewhere around 70 odd percent of contribution to our EBITDA. This trend, do we expect to follow in this financial year and coming 2-3 years as well, or how do we should we expect this trend to continue?
So, look, we have the capacity in all the hospitals, even the mature hospital, which are 10 years plus. So we are going to see the momentum of growth in these hospitals also. I just want to add the hospital which are 5 to 10 years of old, there we have the higher delta, because you can see the EBITDA margin is close to around 17%. We have the lot of capacities are there which is going to be built into the coming quarters, and they are also going to show the higher momentum of more than 20% into the upcoming quarter. Hospitals which are in the range of 0 to 5 years, in that if you can see we have the majority of the franchises operation which are smaller in size. So that doesn't impact much. The only thing which has been added here is the Sanar International Hospital, where we all know that it is going to deliver and turn around very quickly into the coming quarters. So you are going to see that bracket is also improving with just the improvement of the Sanar. and rest of the two brackets, the middle one is the high growth, and even the 10 years plus will continue to give the continuous growth what we have into the past.
Add to that, if you look at our data about 10 years ago when we got listed, about 85-90% of the EBITDA used to come from the mature units, right? So that has now come down significantly. And even if you look at the data that is presented in the investor presentation this time, if you ignore the bucket which is 0 to 5 years, which is kind of making a little bit of a loss, if you look at the balance, about 55% of the EBITDA really comes in from the mature hospitals, right? So I think we've come a long way from that 85-90% down to almost 55%. And our CFO just said, all the buckets can grow from here. However, strategically, because there are more number of beds in the 5 to 10 years bucket, we will see that that bucket will continue to grow. That bucket, as well as the 0 to 5 years bucket, will grow a little bit faster than the 10 years plus bucket.
Are you audible?
Thank you, sir. Yeah, perfect. Thank you, sir. Sir, so my next question is on our FOSO and FOSUM business. What kind of revenue we might have generated from the same for this quarter?
So FOSO for this quarter is close to around 2.2 crores and FOSUM is around 80 lakhs. If you can see on the growth basis, also, we have a slightly decline into the FOSO. That is the reason you can see into the 0 to 5 year bucket. So compared to last year, it is around 26 million versus 22 million in this quarter. And whereas FOSUM is around 75 lakh to 80 lakhs in this quarter.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. So one question is on the government business. I think so. Earlier in the commentary, I heard that we are trying to reduce the revenue contribution for the government business. As of now, it has been 24%. What is our aspiration to reach where we will be comfortable? Like, what kind of revenue generation from government institution, and we'll be happy with it in next 2-3 years?
So Dr. Nishita, our Chief Operating Officer, can probably take that question.
So actually, if we take that occupancy-wise, the number-wise, then we are planning for 70-30. So 70 should be self-paying in CPA. And 30% we should be drawing from government. So revenue wise, I think CFO sir can help me out for that.
Sure. So look, I will say just to correct, if you see our proportion of the government and self versus TPA is continuing with around 75%, 25% kind of thing. And you can see we are going to be into this kind of bracket, but just I want to say, even into the government business, we are more inclined towards the schemes like RDHS, CGHS, which are highly profitable. As our CEO has already mentioned that we have just cut down a couple of schemes, mainly which are low profitable in the sense like ESIC and other things, where we are not doing a lot of businesses. Whereas other businesses like CGHS and RDHS are the highly profitable. And that will also continue to remain into the same proportion into the future also. It will reduce slightly going forward. If you can see into the next year onwards, our sales TPA will be close to 80-81% kind of thing, and government will come down below 20% into the upcoming quarter.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I have a few other questions. I'll just move back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashok Shah from Eklavya Invesco Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Sir, we have continuously, again, I think it is a repeat, but on occupancy, our occupancy is on lower level, less than 50%. It's come down to 45%. So to are we thinking on a different line that also, or thinking to have increase the occupancy by reducing the rates or the something like that similar way? Hello.
Hello. Sir, was the question audible to you?
Yes, I think Dr. Nishita Shukla is also on the line. I think she can take this question.
Yes, sir, she is on the line. Ma'am, were you able to hear the question?
Actually, for, you know, increasing the occupancy, we are, you know, working for everything, say bringing in doctors, say, you know, going for scheme patients and all. Even we have economy class and all-in-all packages where we, you know, facilitate the patients who are not affordable. We also have a support system to cater these patients. But yes, the occupancy, you know, many things matter. It is not only the rates which are on a higher side, because we have all package surgeries. We have more insurance patients where we already have a tight package. So increasing occupancy, we are working on, you know, a 360 level, like bringing in good doctors who have good name, you know, making all-in-all packages, supporting patients with government schemes and all. So hope I am able to answer your question.
And sir, secondly, on the debt front, reduction of interest cost, so what we are doing?
Sorry?
On the reduction of the interest cost.
Sure. So on the interest cost, I just want to highlight, if you can see in terms of the debt, we have the major debt in our implant business, and we have seen the momentum change into the implant business compared to the last year. The way we are seeing, we have to definitely keep investing the money into the our implant business, but the kind of money what we have invested into the past compared to the upcoming quarter, which will be low, because that business is start becoming profitable into the coming quarter. So in terms of value terms, you will see there will be a slight decrease compared to the earlier quarters, but in terms of the profitability percentage, it will improve with the improvisation into the business into the coming quarter.
Sir, over the next 3-4 years, do you expect implant business to give at least 25% of the profit to us?
Yeah, Deepak, if you can take that, please.
Sure. So in eventual time, you will receive it, but I do not see that 25% of profit coming in immediately. But eventually, if you look at it, it will reach there, right? I mean, it is a very large market, and, you know, globally, we are trying to penetrate in a big way. So at some point of time, you will start seeing that 25% kind of EBITDA coming in. But at this juncture, for the next immediate effect, you will not see that 25% EBITDA coming through.
Thank you. Thank you. Sir, I have one suggestion that over the last 8-9 years after coming out with the IPO, we have never organized the analyst meet in Mumbai city. So can you organize the analyst meet? So every year, at least once a year analyst meet, it will be good to know and meet and interact with the management. Thank you. That's from my side.
Definitely. Yeah, we appreciate your point. We will work around that and inform accordingly.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kush Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So my question is regarding the implant business, that who all are our competitors in India? Can you hear me?
We have multiple companies. Yeah, I'm answering. So we have multiple companies in India, which are global companies, and some of them are Indian manufacturers. So if you want to take names of them, then we have Zimmer Biomet, Stryker, J&J, Smith & Nephew. These are all international, multinational companies who have presence in India. And then there are also Indian companies who have presence in India, like the Merrills and the Biorads of the world. So it is right now about 7 to 8 people, 8-9 people are already there in the Indian market.
So, sir, what is the competitive advantage of our implant business from others?
So our competitive advantage are multiple things, starting from our product quality, which I spoke about, our product, where it is made and how it is made in terms of all our products get manufactured in California in the United States plant under the US FDA law. So that is number one in terms of the quality and the product quality that we have with zero recalls in the last 32 years of existence, which is not there in many implant companies around the world. Second thing is we have the Shalby hospital backbone in terms of ensuring training, upskilling, new product development, all of that in terms of access. These are two large USPs. So our whole manufacturing quality process, our product, we have already come out with a couple of clinical papers in terms of how our product performances have been, which is really doing well. And that's why you see the growth, right? The growth in business is coming fundamentally because of our product quality, our assurances, as well as from a standpoint of upskilling, training, which is something which is comparatively easy for us because of the Shalby Hospital group behind us.
Okay, sir, that's good. Next question is that target, as you have given the target of implant business, you will stick on it for the couple of next year?
I'm sorry, but I cannot get your question. I mean, can you repeat your question, please?
So you have given the target for implant business of $100 billion. You are going to stick on it?
Yeah, so the $100 million is still, we're sticking on to it, but not from an immediate standpoint of the next 1 or 2 years. It will take slightly longer time because of some of the supply chain challenges that we have had in the past and some new product development. But I'm pretty sure from where we are to where we need to reach, we will reach there in the next 4 to 5 years for sure.
So what will be the margin in next 4 to 5 years for the implant business?
Amit, do you want to take that?
So definitely, as we have guided, the way the implant is doing, we are going to see the single digit EBITDA margin into the this year and next year. And down the line, 4 to 5 years, the kind of margin we are seeing, that will be ranging between 20% to 25%.
That's from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viresh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is on Sanar Hospital. When I look at the numbers, it is hardly any progress from the YOY basis as well. Like there is hardly any revenue growth or anything. When our competitors are in similar size and all, they are turning break-even in maybe 12 months to 18 months. What they are doing differently, or where are we lacking, like, to turn this around? That's my question one. Should I ask the question to now, or?
Yeah, I think Mr. Kapoor can first take that question.
Okay. So on the Sanar operations, as compared to the previous year, what have things been this quarter, particularly if you are seeing quarter year on year for this first quarter? Like I mentioned earlier, because of the geopolitical reasons, there was a dip in the patient flow from Middle East. And Middle East being almost covering our 45 to 50% of the inflow. So that was affected for quarter one. Otherwise, there have been couple of exits in terms of doctors, which have been replaced immediately by us. And typically, a doctor, when replaced, takes about 6 months to 12 months to get settled, and the patient flow is recaptured. So hopefully going forward, in next couple of quarters, you will see the numbers much better than what it was in the first quarter.
Okay. And are we solely relying on international patients, or are there plans to like backfill, or at least some from the occupancy perspective, like taking local patients as well?
So majority till now was from international, as mentioned earlier that about 65% patients were coming from international, 35% from domestic. But last 1 year, our focus has also been on domestic front. And we have got our hospital accredited by NABH, in the process of getting by NABH. And we hope to get some panels also on board, which will further enhance the occupancy of domestic. And currently, if you see, the occupancy of international and domestic is around 55-45. And as normally, the domestic front, it takes about 3-4 years for any hospital to reach to a level where they can say that the large number of population is covering. So, but in Gurgaon now, we are more visible. Our brand is much more, which shall be coming in, much more recall value. And not only in high-end transplant business, but also like in orthopedics, in spine surgery, we are getting a lot of local patients, Indian nationals, from Gurgaon and nearby places. And for orthopedics particularly, people come from places like UP, Bihar, and Madhya Pradesh, and Rajasthan, and so forth. So my take is that going forward in next couple of quarters, our domestic business will also grow equally as the international business is growing.
Okay. Thanks for the insight. And another question was on the new hospitals or the growth. What's happening on the Mumbai hospital front? Like it was expected, like from the initial commentary, maybe 6 months back, it was expected to, like we were expected to get we were expected to start the construction. What's happening in there?
Yeah. So as we mentioned earlier also, we announced that we have received the Charity Commission approval and we have to submit the document with the Charity Commission, the final deed. And post that, we will go with the other regulatory approval and start the Greenfield project into the Mumbai location.
So when should we expect any time, like 3-4?
So the way we are seeing the total project timeline that we are seeing is 3 to 3.5 years from now.
Three to three and a half years from the day we get the handover from the trust. The current, the property is still with the trust, and after submitting, the lease document to the Charity Commissioner's office, and completing the formalities, we will get the handover. So from the day of handover, we should be taking between 3-3.5 years.
All right. Yeah, I was asking about the handover and we beginning the construction, because that's when our some payout like that will become a stress on the books. So that's what I was interested in. Okay, and lastly, on our lightweight model, like either shall be operated or managed. So from last 7-8 months, like we have not added anything on that front. Like there have been two exits that we have seen, but no addition. Like any insights you want to give there on that business?
No, that is true. That is true. In fact, we have become extremely picky when it comes to kind of joining hands with any particular hospital for a franchisee, because in the past there have been instances where the local franchisee may have shortchanged us or not followed the quality parameters, etc., and then ultimately it doesn't give a good name to the brand. So we have become very picky in terms of choosing the partners, and hence even though we may take time to get to our target, we will not hurry into scaling this model up.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for answering the questions. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Mr. Kashish Thakur from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for giving me opportunity again. Sir, again, just taking forward from your government business, what kind of receivable days do we have from the government, guys?
So look, it's depend upon the scheme to scheme generally, and also the fund available with the government. Like RGHS, the way we have seen, the funds are coming in the close to around 120 days. But sometimes if the funds has not been there, it can extend to 180 days. Ayushman is also ranging between around 180 days and a couple of other schemes. So generally you can take is the average average receivable days for this government business is close to around 180 days plus kind of thing.
Understood, sir. And how has been the trend? It has been 180 days since last 2-3 years, or has it come down?
So the average remains the same. It's a trend where you can see, because sometimes you are getting the partial money, but overall, if you can see, it's ranging around 180 days kind of thing.
Understood, sir. So one question is on insurance, the domestic insurance. So I believe that we sign a new deal with the insurance companies every 2-3 years. So how has been the situation for us? So are we planning to sign a new deal with the insurance companies, or how it is?
So I request Dr. Nishita Shukla to answer this question.
Yeah, I'll take that. For the insurance, there are different insurance. One is GIPSA insurance, where they tie up with all the hospitals and they have certain insurance under them. And there are corporate insurance, where there are individual CPAs. So we usually try and do tie up with all the insurance. But few insurance which are not supporting the hospital, say there are groups of hospitals who have got together, say Ahana is a group which runs in Ahmedabad, which is working for the non-competence of the insurance company, where they don't pay us on time, they do haphazard deductions and all. So we have decided together as a group to not support that insurance company. So there are a few of them which we are talking to, which on behalf of all the hospitals, we are talking to them. And that is one which is going on. Otherwise, we usually do tie up with all the insurance, because we get patients from different insurance and hospitals have that support to give it to the insurance patient where we work for them.
Understood, ma'am. Oh, and just one...
understood, right?
Sorry, ma'am, your voice was a bit feeble.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to tell you is that we are tied up with majority all the insurances. And so that is not a new insurance or old insurance. The insurance tie-ups are done every 2 or 3 years. But there are few insurance companies which don't respond back to us, in spite of repeated reminders. They don't do extend their tie-up or revision of rates for 5 years. Or they don't give us a timely payment. So such insurance we are working, though they are on panel, but then we are into talk with them on a case-to-case basis.
Understood, ma'am. Thank you. And just one last final question. Just can we re-emphasize on what kind of top line growth we should expect for FY26 along with the EBITDA margins? This is the consolidated business.
We are seeing the good momentum in terms of the top line growth, because we have invested heavily into the doctors, into the quarter three. The business will continue to grow into the upcoming quarter, and the way we have historically delivered the revenue growth, we are expecting we are going to deliver the double-digit growth margin ranging close to around 12-15% kind of the growth will be there into this financial year. And accordingly, our EBITDA margin will also improve.
Thank you so much, sir. That's all from mine.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Neil Shah from Prunetra Investment Advisory Private Limited. Please go ahead. Please go ahead with your question, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah.
In case of Shalby MedTech Limited, we have a positive EBITDA on a standalone basis, but a negative EBITDA on a consol basis. So I understand why the EBITDA is negative, but can you tell me what Shalby MedTech Limited does on a standalone basis? Like, how does it generate revenue on a standalone basis? What is its business exactly?
So I'll go ahead and maybe Amit, you can add after. So Shalby MedTech is also the business that we do in India. The reason for us to have that positive EBITDA this quarter is over a couple of reasons. Number one, there are operational efficiencies that we have built. And second is some innovative partnerships and robotic models that we have done, right? So both of them put together are the reason. So the COGS does continue to go down, but also there are some partnerships that we've done with certain products and projects which have allowed us to get certain businesses through. Like we have tied up with Robotics, so we do robotic rentals. We are figuring out way to get business out of robotic consumables and so on and so forth. So that adds to both the top line and the bottom line, and that's why you see the standalone Shalby MedTech. And it is not one time, this is going to be more evolving. So as we work and continue to get the COGS down and build operational efficiencies, this particular partnership, this is the first of the partnerships which I just spoke about our strategy. There are multiple other partnerships. We have had some other products also which have come into our kitty through partnerships. And these products add to a decent gross margin for us and hence to the EBITDA.
Okay, understood. And why is the RPOB for hospitals with a maturity of 5 to 10 years so low as compared to the other maturities of 10 plus years or 0 to 5 years?
So if you can see in the 0 to 5 years of hospital, as I already mentioned, that includes the Sanar International Hospital also. And Sanar, the kind of business we have, around 56% of the international business, where the RPOB is close to around 89,000 rupees plus. So that is the reason, due to the international business where the revenue size is high, we have the higher RPOB. And whereas if you can see into the 10 years plus mature hospital, we have more of a domestic business, hardly any international business, and that is still based out in Ahmedabad and some other locations. And in light with that, if you can see, RPOB is pretty good for the 10 years plus hospital, that is close to 71,000.
Basically two things, as we said, one is based on the geography, the RPOB could be more or less depending on a metro versus tier 1, tier 2 cities. And second is the specialty mix, where you have a high number of arthroplasty surgeries happening, you see a higher RPOB because the ticket size is high and the average length of stay is slightly low. So, it really depends on the on these two factors.
Okay, so do you mean that in the maturity of 5 to 10 years, they are all not in the best geographies or the specialty mix is not very favorable?
Well,
or is it just evolving?
No, I would not say that. I would say that, basically the hospitals in the 5 to 10 year segment have a very high RPOB, compared to the competitors that we kind of compete with in those geographies. The profitability also is, high. So that's not a concern at all. But if you look at Delhi as a geography, you have higher RPOBs there naturally because of, the kind of cost of living, etc. So I would say higher RPOB does not necessarily translate into higher profitability. So I would say, I would segregate the two. I would not try to combine both of them.
Okay, all right. That's it from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Ashok Shah from Eklavya Invesco Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my further question. Sir, are we in case of our new business of this implant, are we thinking on the dental also side to expand, or it will be only this one?
Can you repeat your question, please?
No, our implant business is, I think, basically related not to the dental services. So are we thinking to expand to the dental also?
So not in the immediate front. See, the orthopedic itself is a globally $30 billion market, okay, in which we have just started scratching the surface of it, right? So I think there is enough space over there to go and build that business to a decent level with good financials. I think our focus and investments are going to be in that place at this juncture. But eventually, once this orthopedic business gets settled up, then we can look at other things. There are multiple things, right? Onco and Optal and dental. There are many medical devices that could be looked at from a long-term standpoint. But at least in the recent short-term future, we are going to be focused on orthopedics and win there and build a better business with financials.
And on the second front, Mediclaim and government. Yeah, can I ask the question? Yeah. On the second question, so, sir, on the competition and the lower level of our occupancy, we are charging more to the customer or the patient who pay medical bill immediately, and we pay charge lesser to the Mediclaim customer. So is it not too good to incentivize to those who pay immediately on admission or on the treatment to reduce their cost, or at least keep it at the rate of the Mediclaim customer to increase our occupancy?
Sir, as I told you earlier, we have different type of packages. We have different class and we have different packages. And we also do all-in-all packages if the patient is not affordable. But majority of places, our self-paying packages or self-paying rate master is equivalent to all other hospitals, all other corporate hospitals. And it is also equivalent or little bit more than, TPAs. It is not on much a higher side.
As per our study, it came to that we charge at least 10% more to the customer patient who pays immediately, and we charge lesser to the Mediclaim customer or the other customer who do not pay immediately.
It is the packages what the insurance has provided us that only we have to apply to that patient as per the policy limits. And our self-paying SOC is already shared with insurance when we, negotiate with them for the packages and all. So self-paying SOC is already shared with them. So to the self-paying patient, we cannot deviate from that SOC postings and all. But yes, if the patient, we do pass on discounts to the patient if they are not affordable or if it is needed.
No, yes, I am not talking about the affordability. I am talking about the those who are affordable but pay extra on the direct cash payment. And if they come out with the Mediclaim, you charge lesser amount.
Sir, that is what I'm trying to explain. Our SOC is shared with Mediclaim, and Mediclaim has asked us to reduce 10% when the patient is diverted to a claim or having a GP or an insurance. Our self-paying SOC is shared with them, and they have an MOU with us to charge 5 to 10% range as per the hospital and as per the state, where they have asked us to charge less 10% to their patient. That is all. But the SOC is same everywhere.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you. Best wishes to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today. I would now hand the conference over to Mr. Jigar Tori for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for joining the call. We will connect again into the next quarter. Apart from that, if you have any questions, you can reach out to our investor email ID. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.